Last place we saw with the water was called Shweta Ganga. It's a very interesting pastime about that place. There was one lady named this temple there. This temple, although it's the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after he left this world, the house became dilapidated. It kind of fell apart, not like now. So there was one guru, Sri Haridas Pandit. He lived in Vrindavan. He had one disciple. Her name was Princess Shachi. She became a Gaudiya Vaishnava. She renounced everything. She renounced all her royalty and everything to become a Gaudiya Vaishnava. And she took up residence in Vrindavan, and sometimes she lived in Radhakund. And every day she was chanting 64 rounds and begging a small few rotis from the Vrijavasis. Highly renounced individual. So her Guru Maharaj, and she was very learned. She was very learned in philosophy. So her Guru Maharaj ordered her, because he was moving here and there, so he had come here and seen the condition of this place. He said, why don't you go to Puri and take charge of the restoration of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, and you can set up, you know, stay there and do that work. So she came here, and she was also giving some classes sometimes, because she was a preacher. Many ladies were also preaching in those days. Janava Mata, Ma Janava, Nityananda's wife, she was also a great preacher, a great speaker. And many ladies were also famous speakers. So she came here and she was giving classes in Bhagavat. And a very holy day came. It's called Ganga Sagar Mela. That's the celebrating of the time that Ganga Mata, Ganga Devi, entered the ocean. Sagar means ocean. And King Bhagirathi, he brought the Ganga here. And nearby the Sagars, where his sons were burned up by Kapila, 60,000 sons. So then the Ganga came, and the ashes of his sons were washed by the Ganga. And when the ashes touched the Ganga, by the purifying effect of Vishnu Charanamrita, because the Ganga is the Vishnu Charanamrita, it's the water that washed the feet of Lord Vamanadeva when he stuck his toes with the universe. So that water purified the sons of King Bhagiratha. So that mela, where the Ganga enters the ocean, that's a place called Ganga Sagar. And they have a big mela there every year. So it's considered very auspicious to bathe in the Ganga. It's very auspicious to bathe in the Ganga on that day. So this, I don't know really what her name, I mean, her name was Princess Sachi. She got initiated, and it doesn't say her name. Haridas Pandit was her guru. And she was just known as Sachi Devi. Her name was Sachi Devi. Her general name, and it was continued as Sachi Devi. So she was sitting here or nearby here. She restored the house, I guess. Maybe she had some ashram here. And she was thinking, fell asleep at night, she was thinking, oh, it would be so nice. Tomorrow is Ganga Sagar Mela. Lakhs of people will take a holy dip in the Ganga. I wish I was one of them. I really like to take bath in the Ganga. So she was thinking like that. Then at night, Ganga Devi came, personified. Ganga Devi came and picked her up, you know, with all her waters and everything, and carried Shachi Devi in the water, and manifested across the street here. She came here. Ganga came across the street. It's called Shweta Ganga, because it's whitish in color. Shweta means white. So that Ganga carried Shachi Devi in her dream, carried her into the temple and into Jagannath's temple room, and sat her there. And then she was just in a deep sleep inside the temple. Pujari came in the morning to open the doors of the temple and wake up Lord Jagannath for the morning puja. And he found this lady lying there. Oh, chore, this lady must be coming to steal the Lord's jewelry. So much costly jewelry Lord Jagannath has. So then they called the police and they arrested the lady, Tachadevi, and put her in jail. So then she was there and she was trying to explain her story that the Ganga picked me up in my dream and Ganga Devi took me here, and everyone said, yeah, sure, right. Where's the water? There's no water anymore, and of course the water gathered here, collected across the ashram here. This is considered Ganga. This is 500 years ago. So then she stayed in jail for some time. And then Ganga Mata appeared in the dream of the king. I mean, Ganga Devi, Ganga Mata. And she told the king, and also the head Bajari, both at the same time. Ganga Mata came and said, listen, I have come here, and now this water across the street from Sachidevi's, from Sarvabhauma's house, which is where Sachidevi had repaired this place. I personally carried her here and laid her here at the feet of Jagannath, because I wanted to touch Jagannath's feet. So I did two things at once. I manifested the Ganga here for her pleasure, so she could bathe in my waters, because of her pure desire. I also washed the feet of Jagannath before I left. So I left her there. And so then, if you don't... And this is a big offense to keep this Vaishnavi in jail. So you should release her from jail, and then you should take initiation from her. You and the head Bajari should take initiation. And if you don't do that, then I'm going to kill you. So then the king woke up. What a strange dream. This lady is innocent. Ganga Mata is innocent. Or this Sachidevi is innocent. So then Hebajari woke up and he had the same dream and they met together. So this is a very extraordinary dream. So they immediately went to the jail and they released Sachimata from the jail. And they fell at her feet and offered pranams, please forgive us. We didn't realize what a great Vaishnavi you were. You're so great that even Ganga Devi herself, Ganga Devi has come here by your power, by your prayers, your sankalpa. Ganga Devi has come here to Puri and made this beautiful tank, this bathing tank. And then you had this leela with Lord Jagannath. You were carried into you spent the night with Lord Jagannath privately in his quarters. So please forgive us, and now we submit ourselves to your feet. Please become our guru. We will become your disciples. So please teach us and instruct us. So from that point on, Sachimata got a nickname. Her nickname became Ganga Mata Goswamini. Goswami and Goswamini. She became, that biography is here in the Samadhi's book. So from that time on, she became known as Ganga Mata Goswamini. Ganga Maharani ki jai. So she did the restoration work of this place. So we can only imagine what it looked like when she came. Because it's time for another Ganga Mata. It needs a little more restoration. Of course, now I guess maybe Ganga Mata has come. Because it appears that they're doing some restoration. He says that the wood lying there is for the outer gate. The inner gate is quite sturdy. The outer gate is non-existent. So this is, and it hasn't been existent for the last 30 years. I've been coming here since 77, so that's 30 years. There's been no gate you saw. We just walked right into the compound. So they're slowly making some inroads into refurbishing. That's what happened across the street. So now we're sitting in Sarvabhauma's house. And Lord Chaitanya would come here. Many, many pastimes took place here. Sarvabhauma is such a powerful personality. 60,000 disciples. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, he converted him by his preaching to become a Gaudiya Vaishnava, a great guru and leader of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he had many, many talks here. It's described. Lord Chaitanya would come here regularly for lunch. And in this place, you see the diorama. The diorama is it's called Sad Bhuj Rup. This is when Lord Chaitanya, on two or three different occasions, he would show this form to different devotees, to Rai Ramananda, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This is three avatars in one. There's Ram, I believe. Is it right? Ram is it? Green? I can't. Oh, my glass, I can't see. There should be Ram and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Golden arms, green arms, and blue arms. But the two legs of Lord Chaitanya. But the six, Sadbuj means six arms. So it's Lord Garanga's face, I believe. And then the arms and symbols. There should be a flute in one of the blue arms. And then an arrow and a bow or something. And a water pot. Maybe Lord Chaitanya is holding a water pot in a danda. Could be. So that's Sadbuj. That form was shown here. And this square block back here, that little raised asana, that's where Lord Chaitanya sat. That's his sitting place. He sat there and gave 61 different descriptions of the Atmaram verse. It's a verse in the Bhagavatam, second canto. Bhagavatam, Atmaram as Chamuniyo. Nirgranta. I can't remember, it's been a while since I used my verse brain. But this is a very famous verse describing the situation of an Atmaram Muni, a saintly person who is Atmaram. He's near Granth. You have the Guru Granth Sahi and the Gurudwara. They have the Granth. But the Atmaram Munis are near Granth. They don't study any Granth because they're Atmaram, they're self-realized. It's called Atmaram Aschamaniyo, near Granth. Nirgranta, something or other. So this verse, Sarvabhauma says, can you explain the meaning of this verse? Lord Chaitanya gave 61 different meanings. Sarvabhauma was amazed. In so many ways, through philosophy and knowledge, by revealing the extent of his knowledge, and of course his leelas, and his ecstasies and pastimes, his prabhav, his influence, and showing that he is the source of all the avatars, he is Krishna, he is Ram. Sarvabhauma became convinced, not by blind faith, but by practical experience, by his knowledge, by seeing the amazing knowledge of Lord Chaitanya, the ungodly, I mean, let's say the godly or the transcendental knowledge, the unlimited knowledge, and then of course Lord Chaitanya is showing so many miracles and feats. So they became fast friends. Sarvabhauma is quite a bit older than Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was here, he was 24. Sarvabhauma was about 64. So in many ways, Sarvabhauma was his senior. But he showed, realizing after a long time, it took a long time, a lot of convincing, because he was a disbeliever in the beginning. He couldn't believe. How is it? It's not very clearly indicated in scriptures that there's any avatar in Kali Yuga. In the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, he mentions a Channa avatar called Channa, not like Channa, it's Channa, Channa, Channa avatar, Channa avatar, which means hidden. In Sanskrit it means hidden avatar. In the Kali Yuga there's a hidden avatar. And of course in Mahabharata there's also verses, many, many verses are actually there if you seriously study, looking for them. But Sarvabhauma, although he was well-read, well-versed in his own department of Naya, logic, but the Vedas are vast, he hadn't discerned this reality that Lord, proving from Shastra that Lord Chaitanya is predicted quite clearly in Shastras. So, when he met Lord Chaitanya, then his son-in-law, Gopinath, was a staunch follower of Lord Chaitanya, and he kept preaching to him. You should understand, he's God. He's actually got into Krishna's mind. He's like, oh, he's just some sannyasi. Some kid, 24-year-old kid. I'm 64 years old. I have six. He has no disciples. No, Lord Chaitanya had no disciples. He's only 24 years old. I'm 64 years old. I have 60,000 disciples. I'm the guru of the king of Puri. Vastly influential, famous, knowledgeable, learned. And this little kid, sit down, let me teach you something. But then when he came to understand the ecstasies and the leelas, by leela vichar, tattva vichar, and by his own experience, then he came convinced that Lord Chaitanya is actually the Supreme Divinity. So the many, many wonderful pastimes described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As I said, Lord Chaitanya would come here and eat. Sometimes 5 days out of the month, he would take prasadam here. And we will just kind of, without I intended to go into detail, but time is not favoring us, so we can just read a summary.
What's the 7-day preaching was done here only, Maharaj?
Yes. And that was the Atmaram verse. They spoke for 7 days, like a septa on one verse. Lord Chaitanya spoke for 7 days. This is the first visit, Lord Chaitanya's first visit here. When Lord Chaitanya first came to Jagannath Puri, he fainted unconscious upon seeing his beloved Jagannath, who is none other than Brijendra Nandan Shyamasundara. Imagine, he was so overwhelmed with loving sentiments. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took him here. And the Lord's fainted. He's unconscious. They're carrying the unconscious body in procession. Some palanquin or some kind of proper arrangement. He carried him here. He doesn't know he's God. There's no awareness. Some Bengali sannyasi has come from Bengal. He enters the temple. He starts running to embrace his lover, Shyamasundara. Starts running like the speed of the wind. The pujaris, they have some, the chokidars, the guards there, they have sticks, bamboo sticks. If anybody gets out of hand, they smack them up. So then the guards, they took out their sticks. Well, this crazy man is going to knock, maybe some crazy man is going to defile the deity. They took out their sticks, they were going to beat him. He wants to climb the altar. Oh my, there he is, Krishna, Krishna. Because all over the place, he's looking, where's my Krishna, where's my Krishna? Krishna Khan, Krishna Khan, Krishna Khan. Now, there he is. There's my Krishna. And then he's running. So, hey, what's this crazy guy? You know, imagine somebody runs. Imagine you're in Gopinath Temple, you're chanting Japa, and somebody comes in the door and starts running full speed towards the deities. What will people do?
Stop him.
Yeah, they say, tackle the guy. So now they carry the unconscious body of Lord Gauranga here. Because it takes one to know one. He's a great saintly person, Sarvabhauma. And he understood this saint, this sannyasi is in some type of ecstasy. He's fallen unconscious. So let me bring him to my house. Maybe I can take care of him. Because he's also wealthy, you can see. He can take care of him. So when the Lord awoke, Sarvabhauma arranged a huge feast of Jagannath Maha Prasad. Jagannath Maha Prasad ki
jai!
Mahaprabhu took Prasad along with all the Bengali devotees who finally caught up with the Lord, because they all followed him here. Now this is another pastime. Surprise Mahaprasad. Because Sarvabhauma was a great logician and he was still not converted. He's just who he is. These are the initial meetings sequentially, chronologically. This is called the first visit. Now slowly Sarvabhauma is starting to think maybe this person is something special. And maybe there's something special about... I mean, he knew Mahaprasad was special, but he's very attached to rules and regulations. You can't take prasad. If you're in bed, you can't eat prasad. With dirty hands, you can't eat prasad. You have to get up first, take a bath, wear clean clothes, and then you can honor prasad. There's some niyam. That's also proper. But Lord Chaitanya came here once early in the morning after Mangal Arati. A little before sunrise, Mahaprabhu brought Jagannath's Mahaprasad here to this house to Sarvabhauma, who was just rising from bed. Accepting the Mahaprasad immediately, without hesitation, he ate it, even though he had not even washed his mouth or bathed. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I'm very pleased. Because there's actually a niyam also, these two things. Before one takes prasad, now prasad and Mahaprasad are two different things. Before one takes prasad, then one is supposed to clean and all these things. But if Mahaprasad comes, at any time, wherever it comes, you simply honor it. Clean, unclean, whatever. Oh, Mahaprasad means Krishna is personally choosing you, picking you out. Yes, I want you to honor me. I want you to accept me. So whenever it comes, like a lot of times people I've seen in the Vaishnava Samaj, someone says, this is Mahaprasad from Thakurji. So, well, what deity? Where is it from? They do like a whole screen test on the Mahaprasad, but this is actually offensive. Oh, in other words, you're making some judgment in your mind. Oh, it's from Govindaji? Oh, that's special Mahaprasad. I'll take that. Oh, this is from my uncle's Gopal deity. Oh, your uncle's Gopal. Your uncle's Gopal deity. Oh, that's not Mahaprasad. So this kind of vichar is aparad. Is offense. Oh, what kind of Mahaprasad? Oh, is Mahaprasad? Okay, great. Is Mahaprasad cyanide? Okay, great. Cyanide is poisonous. It'll kill you. Anyway, it's Mahaprasad. Because you think it's Mahaprasad, it won't kill you also. Because Krishna will enter there. Because what's the proof? What's it? Who knows the proof of this?
Prahlad Maharaj.
You know the proof? What's the Shastric proof? You can eat cyanide and live. You have the seventh canto?
Yes.
Yes. But again, we have the books. But we don't read them. But all his coaches have filled them in. Yes, I know. In the seventh canto, there's a story of Prahlad Charitra. So his father, Hranyakashipu, wanted to kill him because he became a Hare Krishna. It's typical. So his father said, "Oh, Prahlad, I have some nice orange juice for you. Tropicana. I just got some fresh squeezed Tropicana orange juice for you. And it's very nice. It's orange in color. It's very fragrant. But you don't know, but this Tropicana, 50%, half this glass is Tropicana and half this glass is cyanide. Cyanide is a liquid poison. Very, very heavy poison. One drop you take inside, khatam ho gaya. Maran. Finished. Ho gaya. So half the glass, 100 milliliters cyanide. So then Prahlad got it and he said, "Oh, you're giving me this prasad. Oh, so nice. Jai." Oh, he didn't say prasad because Hranyakashipu was not a devotee. He said, "Take some orange juice." So he got the orange juice, and devotee doesn't take bhog. So when he got the orange juice, he held it to his forehead and he said, "Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Oh my Lord, oh Vishnu," because his ishta was Vishnu. He was doing smaran of Vishnu. That was his perfection, smaran. Vishnu smaran. "Oh Vishnu, please accept this. This is a nice thing. You please accept it." That's how you sound. "Oh, Daddy, that was really good. Thanks a lot for that beautiful orange juice prasadam. Tropicana orange juice prasadam." So then he was rubbing his belly, so it was nice. Then Hranyakashipu was watching. "Well, you like it, huh? You feel a little sleepy? You feel a little tired? Why don't you lie down?" "Oh, Daddy, I don't feel tired. I'm going to go play now." "Gotcha." And then he goes playing. Hranyakashipu is looking out the window. He's looking out the window, waiting for him to keel over and die. Fall over and die. But he didn't. Because that poison became converted to Mahaprasad. Because he offered it. So it became transcendental. Chinmoy. Chinmoy bhog. Transcendental. A prakrita vastu. That vastu, that substance, became transcendental by the touch of the Lord. So, this is the situation. So when Mahaprasad, when someone says this is Mahaprasad, Prakriti is Mahaprasad, we don't say who's Mahaprasad. He already said it. Mahaprasad means it's Krishna. So you generally, and then you take it. Without an investigation. Where it came from. What deity. As I often see. Whose is it? It's mine. It's my mouth. Okay, I'll take it. So he didn't bathe. So when Mahaprasad, you don't bathe, you don't do anything. Just take it. Now, Lord Chaitanya stays 5 days. Before Lord Chaitanya departed for his South Indian tour, he stayed here for 5 days. He lived in his house 5 days. After Rath Yatra festival, all the Bengali devotees returned home. Mahaprabhu was offered a wonderful feast here at Sarvabhauma's house. The preparations are herein described. There was 3 kilos of rice with so much yellow fragrant ghee that it overflowed the banana leaf. You're also eating on banana leaves, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day would eat on a banana leaf. So Mata Mangal has made arrangements so we can also be in that mood. Lord Chaitanya took Jagannath Mahaprasadam on a banana leaf. So we're very much indebted to Mata Mangal for making these arrangements. Yeah. So we can all enter the Leela of Mahaprabhu, honoring Jagannath Mahaprasadam on the banana leaves. There were 10 kinds of spinach. There was neem leaf soup, a mild cake of fried curd, buttermilk mixed with fried dal bits, fried eggplant and neem, fried rounds of pumpkin and squash, soup that was more delicious than nectar. nectar. There were six sour preparations. Bharats, Mungdal. No, no, you make it into a patty, then you deep fry it. Bharat, what? Bharat. It says Bharats. Anyways, mung was one, urd was another, and then also one was sweet bananas. There was sweet rice cake and other cakes. Sweet rice mixed with ghee. That's very nice, actually. It's a very common thing. Indeed, they make sweet rice and you put something like 200 milliliters of ghee in it. It's very nice. And all the temples they do. And then sweet rice and ghee. And that was poured in. That was. And then there was also an earthen pot filled with condensed milk and mangoes. I mean, thick milk. And you keep cooking it till it turns slightly brown. And cooking, it gets. It's like almost like you're making sweet rice. But it's like sweet rice kheer without the rice. Delicious churned dahi, you know, whipped yogurt or something. And many varieties of sandesh, which were a favorite of Lord Chaitanya. Indeed, all the various edibles available in Bengal and Orissa were prepared. There was scented cold water in pitchers. That means they can put different oils in it. Pure oils like kadamba oil, or rose oil, gulab oil, and then gives it a scent, and it's really nice. And a variety of Lord Jagannath Mahaprasad, including sweet balls, sweet rice, and cakes. Mahaprabhu was astonished to see all the wonderful preparations. How is it finished in only 6 hours of cooking? Even 100 men couldn't accomplish this, he's telling. You are most fortunate, Sarvabhauma. Your endeavor is successful, for you and your wife have offered such a wonderful feast to Radha and Krishna. Because Sarvabhauma had Radha and Krishna deities. So Lord Chaitanya is simply a sannyasi coming to a grihastha's home, taking Radha Krishna Mahaprasadam. So there's an interesting statement, because he's saying, you have offered a wonderful feast to Radha and Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Yeah. So he himself is Radha and Krishna, but in his own humility, he goes, oh, you've offered it to your Thakurji, your Gar Thakur, your Radha and Krishna, your Ishta, your Murti. Now you invited me for the Mahaprasadam. So your life is successful. Your life is successful because you and your wife have offered such a wonderful feast to the deities. And then I'm so lucky I'm going to take this gorgeous, wonderful feast. So that happened to you. We can read Sea Bathing and Golden Beach. Because these are upcoming attractions. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarasam Asmi Sagara. Of bodies of water, I am the ocean. There's many bodies of water. There's Mansarovara Lake, Mansarovara, in Tibet, and there's so many lakes and so many different bodies of water, but the biggest one is the ocean. And Krishna says, of all the different bodies, lakes of water, lakes, sarovaras, nadis, rivers, etc., I am the ocean, because it's so powerful. You saw his wave flip the upside down. Right? So that's established that Krishna is the ocean. Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea and declared at that time on, from this day forward, this sea has become a great pilgrimage site. We should also make a pilgrimage there. The first day Mahaprabhu arrived in Puri, he bathed in the sea with all his devotees. Harivo!
Harivo!
So what did we do yesterday? We arrived in Puri and we bathed in the sea.
Yeah, yesterday.
Lord Chaitanya's basic daily schedule was to visit the temple, chant and dance before Lord Jagannath in the morning, spend some time at Siddhabokul discussing Krishna with Haridas Thakur, Sanatan, and Rupa Goswamis. They also stayed there, also, lived there also. And then to the ocean for bathing and performance of his noon pastimes. Whenever the visiting devotees arrived in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya would order them to bathe in the ocean. He said to the Bengali Vaishnavas, go to the sea and bathe, then look at the top of the temple, see the chakra. After doing so, please come back here and take your lunch in Kashimisha's house. He was staying here. It's huge. See this house. You can fit thousands of people here. So all the Bengali Vaishnavas would come spread out and take Mahaprasadam. Kashimisha was the head bajari. He was superintendent of the temple. So you imagine what kind of feast they had. This is Sarvabhauma. I meant Kashimisha's house, which is also big. I get confused. So that sounds like a good proposal. Other devotees would regularly bathe in the sea. Rupa Goswami went to bathe in the sea, so we're bathing in the same ocean Rupa Goswami bathed in. And in the sea, after writing the famous palm leaf verse, Raghunath Vaidya, formerly Revati in Krishna Lila, and a great devotee Mahaprabhu lived at the seashore at Puri. Anyone who he glanced upon would immediately attain Krishna consciousness. If we just glance at someone, they would become Krishna conscious. Often, after ecstatic kirtan performances, Chaitanya and the devotees would bathe in the sea to relieve their fatigue. Understanding the fatigue of the devotees, Mahaprabhu stopped the congregational chanting at the temple and went to bathe in the sea, accompanied by all the devotees. Besides bathing, Chaitanya would sometimes enjoy swimming and playing, especially after the kirtan performed during Haridas Thakur's samadhi. After he placed him in samadhi, they had a huge kirtan on the beach, dancing and chanting. And then he said, after Sankirtan, he bathed in the sea with his devotees, swimming and playing in the water in great jubilation. This is called beach pastimes. After seeing the sand dunes at Chatak Parvat, as seeing them as Govardhan Hill, Mahaprabhu took an ocean bath. One day, Govinda, Jagadananda, Shankar, and Mukunda all went to bathe in the sea. They could hear Chota Haridas singing in the sky, as he had committed suicide. That was at the beach. When Lord Chaitanya returned from his South Indian tour, Sarvabhauma met him at the beach with great pleasure. He gives a footnote where that was. One day, while going to the beach, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly saw a flower garden. He mistook that garden for the Kunjas and Vrindavan and quickly entered it. Absorbed in ecstatic love for Krishna, he wandered throughout the garden looking for Krishna. And he quoted many verses, wherein the gopis are asking all the moving and non-moving forest creatures, "Have you seen Krishna?" That's Nanti Leela. One day, while walking along the seashore, it was actually at night, it was the night of Sharad Purnima, the full moon night of the Rasa dance, Lord Chaitanya suddenly saw the ocean glistening in the rays of the moon and the waves dancing in the moon rays. Brightened by the shining light of the moon and the high waves of the sea glittered like the river Yamuna. Mistaking the sea for the Yamuna River, the Lord ran swiftly with the speed of wind. Oh, Kalindi, Kalindi, Jamuna, Jamuna. And he dove into the ocean. And it became invisible to all the devotees. No one could see him. Naturally, everybody went crazy. The devotees arrived at the seashore and they couldn't see Mahaprabhu anywhere. They thought he drowned. They were with him. They were all walking with him together, like we were walking on the beach. Imagine we were walking the other night, all of a sudden I said, "Jamuna," and I just ran full speed into the ocean, disappeared. Maybe you might feel something. And then you start looking at
the
split.
They have helicopters on this thing.
Later, the devotees arrived at the seashore and they split up and to search the beach and the water for the whereabouts of the Lord. Meanwhile, hoping to see the water pastimes of Krishna, I guess he was thinking of midday pastimes, not midnight pastimes. Srimati Radharani and the gopis, Mahaprabhu floated 19 miles north to the Konark beach, that's what it says, but the local people say he went in here at Swargadwara and he went to Gauranga, Sonar Gauranga, which we'll go to in a day, which was like half a kilometer. And then these are verses comparing Chaitanya's pastimes to the ocean. So I tried to find everything I could about the ocean. As the wind, while living at Puri, Mahaprabhu floated all day and night in an ocean of separation from Krishna. So who was floating? Somebody was floating in the ocean the other day. You were floating?
Panda Prem Prabhu.
Yeah, Panda Prem, because he's quite a strong person, a healthy, looks like a good swimmer also. Because if you know floating, it means you also know swimming. So you could imagine you were floating in what? Ocean of separation from Krishna. I don't know if you had that mind, that bhav, but maybe today you can think of that when you float today. Certainly it's a fact, we're separated from Krishna. As the wind can carry away but a drop of the ocean, a living entity can only touch a particle of the ocean of love of Krishna. Endless waves arise moment after moment in that ocean of love. How can an insignificant living entity estimate their limits? The ocean of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu is immeasurable and unfathomable. Who can take the courage to measure that great ocean? It is not possible to dip into that great ocean, but its sweet, mellow flavor attracts my mind. I therefore stand on the shore of that ocean to try to taste a drop of it.